I am glad to hear, as I understand, and Joe, you help me here a little bit. You guys can talk in a minute. That there is some progress going on with Dave, and he seems to be doing a little better. Maybe a little bit, and the Lord bless us. We'll have him back next week to come and share with us. But in the meantime, I urge you to continue to lift him up in prayer and all those who have special needs. I'd like to share with you a little sermon entitled, Do You Shine? Do You Shine? And that may be appropriate after the choir, when the storm passes over. What do you wait for? The sun to come out and shine. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 13, verses 36 through 43. And I would ask you to follow along as I read the scriptures this morning and see what they have to speak to us about. This is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. It says, then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us, Lord, the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Bow with me for just a moment as we begin. Father, open our hearts and minds right now to hear and receive those things that are about to come. Lord, we pray that we'll put away the world for the time being and concentrate on what your word has to say to us. Touch us in a very special way. Make this a special time as we tune ourselves into the voice of the Spirit, that all things might be said and done to the glory of the Lord. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. You know, one of the things I like to do when I'm out driving around in the city is when I'm stopped at a light at an intersection is to watch the people who are making a left-hand turn in front of me. Now, I watch with curiosity the expressions on people's faces, and you will do this now the next time you get to a stop sign or a red light and watch the people. Some of those people making those turns, they look so stern. Some are stern looking, some intent on making that curve just right. Others are leaning into that curve like they're on an Indianapolis Speedway. But very few people you see making those turns show a sign of a relaxed composure in their lives. Once in a while, although it's rare, you might see somebody who even has a little bit of smile on his or her face. And that makes me wonder, what's really going on in people's lives? Is the intensity and the concentration a part of their mental makeup when they're out there behind the wheel? Are their lives perhaps so burdened that life is heavy and perhaps for many it's painful? Is life so dull and so dark and so threatening and so monotonous that one cannot even wear a facial expression that has a bit of calmness about it? Are their lives so heavy, so burdened, that life is really dull, dark, threatening, monotonous? But you know, I got to thinking about the appearance of these people. And as I thought about the situation, it just came to me, I wonder if there's something missing in these people's lives. And that's not to say that everybody who's driving by is or is not a Christian or not religious in some special way. I don't know about that. But it does kind of make a suggestion that there's something wrong when nobody seems to have that sense of joy, that sense of a smile on the face, a composed, calm, a good feeling in life. And yet, you know, all of these people we're talking about are the people that have the potential to be bright and shining in their lives and what life ought to be at its best. Everybody has that potential. Well, I'm asking the question, and you want to think about this a little bit. What do you suppose is missing in these people's lives? And I believe the answer to that question is found in our scripture for today. For had we read earlier in chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel, we would have encountered the parable of the sowing of the seeds in a field. And in that parable, it tells us that while the farmer was sleeping and after sowing his seed, someone slipped in and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then they slipped away. And of course, when the plants grew up to their fullness, the weeds were right there beside the good plants. And when the servants came in, they asked the master, Did you not sow good seed? Well, how is it then that we have weeds in our field? And the master's answer was simply this: An enemy has done this. Well, sometime later, the disciples, not being sure if they understood the meaning of what the parable was all about, they asked Jesus for a good explanation. And that was the scripture for today. As Jesus told them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus himself. The field is the world. The good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed the seeds is the devil. The harvest is at the close of the age, and the reapers, they are God's angels. And then Jesus shared with us two very strong pictures in God's plan of redemption. For two things are going to take place, he says. In verse 41, Jesus tells us, at the end of the age, he will send his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom everything that causes sin, and all those who live in sin, and they will be cast into the furnace of fire. That's a metaphor for hell, by the way. And there will be there these will weep and gnash their teeth. Now the next verse is the one I really want to look at. If you're looking at your Bible right there, there Jesus said, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Who? The righteous. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has the ears to hear, let him hear. Well, there can be no doubt, my friends, that Jesus has given us a look into eternity in this verse. He has drawn really a fantastic picture that shows us that those who are righteous, and I take that to mean those who have been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, those people, when they get into heaven, are going to be people whose lives literally glow with the fullness of God's Spirit. They will be shining, my friends, like that in a place where the Father himself dwells. They will be in a place where nothing of sin can even exist. They will be in a place where evil no longer exists or does not exist. It will be in a place of purity and righteousness and holiness, and all living things will be there for one reason, and that's to praise and give glory to God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My, what an inheritance. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a joy it's going to be in that place. And that's the righteous. who will be shining like the noonday sun, even in the presence of the Father. Isn't that nice? You think about that. Purity, righteousness, holiness, the glory of God and the righteousness of God are going to be there, shining themselves even in the midst of the glory of God. But remember, he said, this is what is going to be taking place at the end of the age. Well, what about now? What about now? Those things are future blessings. They are future promises. But what about now? Now, I've said all this in order to point out that, folks, if that is how things are going to be at the end of the age, people who are righteous, shining like the glow of the sun at noonday time, shouldn't they be doing the same thing right now? After all, is it not the truth that today, right here and right now, our lives are nothing more than a shadow of things to come? Now, you got to think through with me what I'm saying when we start talking about the shadow. Right now, our lives are but a shadow of things to come. Now, the truth is this. A shadow is a reflection of the real. You know what I'm saying? A shadow is a reflection of the real. Now, when the sun casts a light upon us and the shadow falls away from us, two things are to be noticed. One, that shadow is eternally connected to its source. And two, it draws its existence from the real source. You get that? If the sun is shining, there's going to be a shadow. That shadow is connected to the real. Eternally. But the whole shadow comes from another source. That is the shiningness of God. Well, what does this tell us about our lives for today? Here and right now. First of all, it tells us that as Christians, we are eternally connected to the reality that is in heaven. Folks, we cannot be Christian and be separated from heaven. Listen to that. We can't be Christian and be separated from heaven. And if we're connected to heaven and its righteous, radiant source, then it stands to reason that we must also be of a righteous, radiant spirit ourselves right now. Now let's look at that radiant spirit, and we do that by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, one of his most notable things is that we learn about him is that he is full of love and giving, compassion and care. In Matthew's gospel, we are told that Jesus had gone away, way out far into a boat and far at sea, to be by himself, to kind of meditate just a little bit with his Father in heaven, which I think Jesus himself needed to do from time to time, to be in touch with the Holy Father. But so great was his fame in his day that when he returned ashore, the Bible tells us that he found a great multitude of people waiting to get near to him. And for me, that's one of the loveliest, most moving scenes of our Lord that we have in the Bible. He didn't go back to sea just to get away from the people because there was a crowd there, the hungering crowd. He didn't slip past and ignore their needs, making excuses of a tight schedule or a need to keep and make appointments down the road. Not at all. Matthew records ever so gently as he went ashore, he saw a great throng of people and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Now I know that you're thinking right now, well, Pastor, that's pretty good. Yeah. But we can't heal the sick. We can't be like Jesus did. Wait a minute. Did you ever try to heal the loneliness of a person who is sick or one who is shut in? Did you ever do that? Or have you ever tried to befriend a friend who is a little awkward, but maybe not quite as smooth, not quite as popular as the smoothly in the crowd? Did you ever consider walking in someone's shoes you were confronted with their needs? You know, there are a lot of us today who don't want to be bothered. We have enough to do just to keep up with our own needs, don't we? And so we often reject people, we refuse people, we ignore people, and sometimes we even put people down who don't agree with us and the way we see things. We sometimes show little or no compassion for those who have particular needs, no love. Why? Why do we not show that compassion and love? Are we not shadows of heaven? Are we not to reflect the love and the compassion, the caring, which is the mainstay of heaven because we are Christians? Are we not called to imitate the Lord? How can we not have true compassion to call ourselves by the name of the Lord? It just isn't right. The Apostle John writes in his third letter where he's dealing with Christian character, and this is what he said. He said, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil doesn't even know God." We are called on to reflect good. That's what heaven is all about. And if we don't reflect the good in the form of compassion and caring and loving and giving, even as Jesus did, my friends, we hadn't seen God. To know God is to reflect Him in your life. Why? Because we are eternally connected to God. If He is the source of our life. But secondly, we are to draw our shining from Him. Now you know that without a source there's no shadow. For without a source there's nothing to create a shadow from. But remember, we are the shadow of heaven. And it stands to reason if there is a source and we are the shadow, then it is the source that makes possible our very existence. So then by nature, not by happenstance, but by nature, we reflect the source of our being. Is this not what Job was saying when he stated, "In God's hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind"? But the Apostle Paul, he put it all so eloquently. He said, "In Him," that is in God, "we live and breathe and we have our being." In Him, in God, we live and breathe and we have our being. You see, my friends, our very lives contain the breath of God. Did you know that? Our very lives contain the breath of God. Recall from the book of Genesis account, the Lord God formed man from the dust, from the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. It's true, my friends, that God was life and man was made to reflect the life of God. Now, if we're to be righteous and shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father in heaven, at the end of the age, is it not clear that we are called on here and now to reflect what He is there? And is it not true that we do that by drawing our shining and our glow from Him who inhabits heaven? Have you ever stopped to consider what makes beautiful Christians shine in this world? My friends, it is the presence of God in their lives. It is the nature of God's love that pervades the Christian heart by the hand of God that enables Christians to shine like the sun here on earth as they reflect the reality of heaven. But let's bring this close to home this morning. No place should our shining like the sun be more evident than in our families. This is what I'm saying. For the true Christian, the admonition comes, "Wake up, ladies. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You hear that, guys? They are to be subject to us as is fitting to the Lord. You got that? You ladies agree with that? That's what it says in the book. Is it? All right? To be subject literally means to be respectful for. And the obvious intent of that verse of Scripture is to strengthen the relationship between a wife and her husband. Wives, when you reflect heaven, you are pouring forth the love of God toward your husband, supporting and enhancing him, bringing fulfillment of that love into his life. Got that, ladies? Did you hear that, men? But then it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And what did he do for the church? He died for it. So great was his love for the church that everything he was, he gave for the life of that church. Gentlemen, that's what you're called to do, is to love your wife with the love of God, shining into your heart, to lift her up, to enhance her, to fulfill her as a woman with your love and God's love. Willing to die for. Woe be to the husband who is harsh with his wife. And woe be to the husband who treats his wife with physical and mental contempt. Woe be to the husband who treats his wife with disregard and disrespect. Husbands, we are called to reflect that heavenly love and care and respect our wives. Now, this is one of God's main guiding principles for fulfilling relationships between husbands and wives. Anything less than this does not reflect the reality of God's love in your life and calls into question, and this may hurt, as one whether or not one has truly seen God or not. But we read further from the Scripture. Children, in case you young folk thought you was about to get away, no. You are to obey your parents in everything. Mama, did you hear that? You are to obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, so says the Scriptures. Is it not true that one of the guiding principles between us and our Heavenly Father is obedience to Him? Sure it is. And that's why God's word to children is to reflect the heavenly reality. Our Lord, the God's Son, obeyed His Father in everything and in His life brought praise and honor to God. And so, children, you are called on to obey your parents in all things. This is pleasing to God and brings honor and glory to our God, our Heavenly Father. Well, how do we do these things? My friends, it's easy. We draw our shining from our Father who is in heaven. You know, and I believe this because I see it in people's lives. We may project a shining in the ways of the Lord, but if it's not from the heart, God will know, and so will others. That's why God's Word says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, when we do it this way, we will reflect the genuineness of our shining as being drawn from God Himself in the heavenly place. But thirdly, reflect on what He is. We reflect on what He is in our lives. The Scriptures have said, let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good deeds and good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, it is a fact that we as Christians, when we walk the walk of God, we have the heart and the mind of Jesus. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is to love, to serve, to obey, and to glorify God. And He says that for every one of us. Let this mind of Jesus be in you. To do what? To love, to glorify, to lift up, to praise God. Now it's a fact that we as Christians walk this walk. We will reflect Him in our lives. And this, my friends, is what pleases God from His people. But you know, where there's no light, there's no shadow. Where there's no light, there's no shadow. Where there's no shadow, there's no reflection. Where there's no shadow, there's no source of light bringing up the shadow. So the truth is simply this. If we're not reflecting compassion because we're not connected to the great source of life, if we're not drawing from the eternal source to reflect heaven in our lives, if we're not in fact reflecting Him, the Lord Jesus, in our lives, then my friend, we are walking in darkness if we are not reflecting Him. And recall again the scripture, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with a fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire, and there men will weep and they will gnash their teeth. My friends, wouldn't it be better to be those who will shine in the kingdom like the sun at noonday? Sure it would. You know it would. And you can be one of those when you become eternally connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you draw from His source of love and compassion for living, and when you reflect Him in your life, here and now. And the question is, as we close, are you reflecting Jesus in your life, here and now? Are you reflecting Jesus? The question is, are you shining? Are you shining day by day with the very presence, the glow, and the power of God? Remember when Moses came down off of Mount Sinai, what he looked like? Remember? The Bible says he had a glow on his face. Why? Because he had been in the presence of God. If people were even afraid of him, he had to put a veil over his face so he could even talk to him. But the evidence was he had been with God. Why? Because he was reflecting God. You could see the glow on his face of having been with God. And so we get down to the question today. It's simply this. Are you shining, reflecting God in your life? If not, maybe you need to take a second look at what your relationship to God is. Are you shining? Let us pray. Father, I just pray that as we consider these few words here today, be honest with ourselves, indeed, that we might truly say, yes, I am shining. Or if not, no, I'm kind of dim. Maybe I need to relook the situation. For Lord, I know this morning that in reality, every one of us really want to shine. We want to reflect that heavenly presence in our lives. But sometimes it falls short. We need some help, Father, to get the light turned back on again. So I'm praying, Father, that you will somehow tinker with us a little bit. Gouge us a little bit. Hey, turn up the light. Turn up the glow. Turn up the spirit. Shine for me. And may we bring glory and honor through our shining. Lord, I ask these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 441. Take time to be holy. Listen to the words of this song. And then apply that to your life and see, does it say, I am holy because I'm reflecting God. Let us stand as we sing.